It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for the fifth day of September 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's get that out of the way. And let's get the program started like the program always should, with thanks, with gratitude. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers for the fifth day of the month. Thank you to Roberto and Kenda. Thank you to James in Illinois. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you very, very kindly. Those are our subscribers for the fifth day of the month. If on the fifth day of the month you'd like to be a subscriber, just run on over to HeadOn.live, click on the Contribute tab, and make it a recurring monthly who's this, and, well, you'll be down a half of a McDonald's. Hash brown patty, less than half of one, per day. Struggle is real. Yeah. Thank you very kindly to Kat in Ohio. Kat responded to Randy's When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. So there's only $75 remaining on that, and the fundraising goal for the evening is $400. If that other 75 comes in, well, we'll knock that down by half. So hopefully, Randy's challenge will be met. And that would be, well, many thanks, many, many kind thanks to Randy for making the challenge. And thanks to those of you who respond. Because, well, last month was brutal. And every month hereafter for the next 4 years is going to be brutal, too. Yeah. It just is. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Hot on both streams aboard the thorny brain train. And Asa adds, levels are excellent. That's one of the best things I've heard in ages. There's been a lot of tweaking and teching going on, but I think we've finally gotten it to where the audio should be better probably than it has been in quite some time. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And does a pathological obsession that's run for 5 days now, out over 100 hours, does that qualify as a thorn? I think it does. One of those really long ones that'll get under the skin and into the muscle. Because that's where we are. It's a bizarre thing to say that Well, the President of the United States is obsessed with a weather map. But he is. Yeah. This is literally day five of Donald Trump insisting that something that wasn't going to happen was going to happen. Today it was a tweet of the so-called spaghetti map from August the 28th, which he claimed proved that he was right all along about Alabama being in the path of the hurricane. The only problem was he was briefed on September the 1st that it wasn't. And he continued. And he keeps on doubling down to the point that this is... It's Jesus. It's a scene out of the Caine Mutiny. Remember when Captain Queeg became obsessed with the strawberries? This is that. But I guess he's finally found a patsy. And by patsy, I mean, Rear Admiral Peter Patsy Brown. Brown says he's the one who briefed the president on Dorian in Alabama and says he did it on September the 1st. On the possibility of tropical storm force winds in southeastern Alabama. Wonder what he's going to get in return for that. Wouldn't it be amazing if after all the crimes, the conspiracies, the felonies, after the damage done to international relationships, that it was a weather map that finally drove the President of the United States around the bend so that everybody except the maggots realized that, well, he wasn't okay, that he's gone barking mad. Ironic indeed, I suppose. Hey, thanks, Tracy. Tracy said, let's get this party started. In order to finish off the challenge, Tracy's putting forward $25, calling on somebody else to answer the $25. Then she adds another $25, and the challenge is met. So if there's somebody out there, or some combination of somebody's, with $25 in hand, Tracy's not going to double it. Tracy's going to triple it. So hopefully we'll get that challenge met right quick and finish off and be hopefully even just the regular evening's fundraising to do for Friday on the front porch, and no community made miracles necessary. That would be wonderful. I wonder how Rear Admiral Peter Brown feels this evening. I mean, you know, we have civilian command of the military, and his only job is to snap a salute and say, yes, sir. And that's the and go and fall on his sword for an ignorant pustule of an attempt at a human being. I mean, South Carolina and North Carolina are getting hit. And he's still obsessing about Alabama where it's probably not even raining. Jesus. Thanks, Charlene. Charlene in Rogues Island, a member of a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, has answered the challenge. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Charlene. That means that Randy's challenge is now met, and we got $200 to go for the evening. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Yeah, Keith says, not the Patsy. Not the Patsy. You're the Patsy. Kyle, meanwhile, getting us started, saying, the worst part of Trump lying about the hurricane's path is not that he lied. It's that the President of the United States can't be trusted to tell the truth about an emergency and who might be impacted by said emergency. So when he does say something truthful about another emergency situation, people will think twice about whether they should believe him and may end up severely harmed because of it. And that's scary. Oh, it is. It is. And so what, but the best approach to that is simply to do what I do and assume that every word that emerges from nitwit Nero's syphilitic gob is a lie. And generally speaking, that anybody even remotely associated with him or his regime is equally mendacious. So that we wind up relying on organizations that he can't quite touch directly. It's kind of like the little barrier, the paper barriers in public toilets. You got to make sure that he hasn't touched anything that you touch. And then maybe it's semi-reliable. Reports coming out of the Bahamas from one woman who has been rescued saying there are hundreds of bodies in a bay there. No verification yet, but it would be no surprise. It would be a horror, but no surprise. Oh, program note, this will be another truncated program this evening. We'll only be going to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'll be filling in for Malloy again this evening. Kathy's still recuperating from the procedure that she had done on Tuesday. Just make a note of it. Dave, writing from the blind in Taliban, Indiana. The weatherman Trump incident may qualify him as playing with himself in front of the cameras after all. I heard, I have not seen the weather chart and the Sharpie outlining thing, but I heard it described as a nipple going into Alabama. Does this qualify as him playing with himself in public even though he didn't tear his clothes off? I'm asking for a friend. Your buddy Dave, reporting from a drive line, not a drop of rain in sight. Take that, Alabama. Thanks, Dave. And really, there's no end in sight for this. Something's going to have to capture his attention that'll take it off of the outrageous Whopper. Isn't that the non-meat Whopper that they're selling now? Yeah. No, that's the impossible. Yeah. That's an interesting phrase. Different, Dave. Ass gasket. Yeah. Well, I've got some ideas as to what might take his mind off of the weather. First it was Walmart. Then it was Kroger's and Ralph's. And now, as of today, Thursday, there are four more big retailers who said, no, don't bring your Freedom Protectors into our stores. That's Walgreens. Okay, it's four total. Since Walmart said no guns, Kroger and Ralph's followed suit, Walgreens, Wegmans, and now CVS. So that brings the list of companies saying, don't come shopping with your Freedom Protector to, let's see, Walmart, Walgreens, Kroger, Whataburger, Sonic, Panera Bread, Chili's, Starbucks, Target, Costco, Trader Joe's, Chipotle, and HEB. That still leaves Publix, most of these, it's not going to be a problem in, say, like with Market Basket up in Massachusetts, because I don't think it's okay to open carry firearms in Massachusetts because, they're sane. But congratulations to those companies for having an ounce of sense. And you know what? If you're the risk manager or the head of risk management for CVS or Wegmans or Kroger or whatever, from that standpoint, it only makes sense. Now, I know that the gun humpers out there like to say that, well, see, if everybody got a gun, then if somebody got a gun and starts shooting a gun, then the other people with the guns, they can shoot their guns too. See? Freedom. Only not really. If you've told people not to bring their guns, and somebody walks into your store with a gun, and you've got a clear no-gun policy, then it's pretty obvious that what you do is you call the law shows up, and arrests the guy with the gun before he starts shooting. Randy says, did they say no guns or did they say no open carry? They said, please don't bring your guns. You know, if somebody's concealed carrying, is short of a metal detector at the front of the store and somebody doing pat-downs, you can't really find that out. Albert in Rhode Island says, I read that Walmart is going to stop selling .223 bullets, the bullets used by an AR-15, but not the 7.62 by 39mm bullet. That was the bullet used by to kill all the people in El Paso. Starbucks has also asked people not to open carry as well. I don't know. If I was law enforcement, I'd feel a lot better about walking into a place where I only had to determine that anybody with a gun was a bad guy with a gun. And, of course, they're at least theoretically trained to know how to deal with that. As opposed to some guy with an AR-15 slung over his shoulder who hasn't seen his feet since the Reagan administration. Okay, so there we are. The challenge has been met. And now we've only got $200 to finish the rest of the evening. Thanks. But what I was getting at is having companies ask people not to open carry. Well, somebody's bound to go pissing and moaning to venereal Vespasian sooner or later. And then Chlamydia Claudius will be off and running on another obsession. Like a pinball, he just bounces from one fuck-up to the next. Because, well, that's what fuck-ups do. And he is that. Some unhappy maggots in Texas. You've heard, of course, that Kumquat Caligula administration has decided to raid the Pentagon budget, taking away money for housing and daycare, things like that, for the stupid fucking wall. Well, it turns out there are some maggots who all of a sudden aren't chanting, "Build that wall," quite so loudly. Down in Brownsville, Texas, which is on the border, they just found out recently that the stupid fucking wall is going to go through their country club. Riverbend Resort and Golf Club. It's a golf course country club for what are described as older adults. You know, the kind of folks in Texas who got to the polls as quick as they could to vote for Donald Trump. And the design for the stupid fucking wall calls for 70% of the community to be south of the wall, but north of the Rio Grande. Oops. A resident there of Riverbend, a guy by the name of Jerry Olson, said, "They're throwing an upheaval onto us. None of us at our age need the additional stress." Just the same, Mr. Olson, interviewed by the New York Times, said, "But I still may vote for Donald Trump again in 2020. That's not how A.V. Greenslit feels, though. She was interviewed by the Times, too. She said, "He's not going to get my vote in 2020. She's outside the wall as well. Oh, I love notes like this. Kyle in Kentucky, Stan, quoting me. "Some guy with an AR-15 slung over his shoulder who hasn't seen his feet since the Reagan administration." God damn it, Bob. Do you have ESP or something where you time up when you drop those damn one-liners to the exact time I'm taking a sip of coffee? Now I gotta clean up my floor. Well, at least it's the floor. You have no idea how many spit takes have ruined how many monitors around here. So I'm just paying it forward, man. That's all. Yeah. So, yeah, what's that, Monique? Monique with a message. I wonder if, see, that you guys pick up the ball and run with it. Monique says, "I wonder if the fool is going to issue a hereby order to those companies to make,
let my people carry their guns. They feel safer that way."
I would not bet against you on that, Monique. So, I wanted to share something with you. I thought it was pretty cool. CNN had their marathon climate town hall yesterday. Now we can't call it a debate because the DNC doesn't want anybody calling it a debate. It was just a town hall.
But it turned out to be a town hall that was pretty substantive. There was probably more value in that than there have been in the pageants so far. And one of the more satisfying moments was during Elizabeth Warren's turn at bat, when she took a question from a young student in the audience. And thanks to Nicole Sandler for sharing this along and making me aware of it. It made my heart happy. We'll pick things up in medias res.
We're only 20% of the problem. Now, that's a big hunk of the problem. But there's another world out there that's 80% of this problem. So you bet that this is a moment where we better dream big and fight hard, because that's how it is that we're going to make the changes we need to make. Now, part of it is going to be about research and development, you bet. Part of it, we already know how to do. We know how to do offshore wind. We know how to do solar. The question is, are we willing to put the resources into it? And my answer is, yeah, we better be willing to put the resources into it, because the alternative is unthinkable. Life on Earth is at risk. And if we don't make this commitment, we not only cheat our children, we cheat their future and their children's future, and that is morally wrong. We have to be all the way.
So let's get an audience question about what you want to move away from. Let's bring in Robin Happel, Johnson City, Tennessee, an environmental law student at Pace University.
Fabulous. Good to see you.
Good evening. As someone who is born and raised in southern Appalachia, I have seen firsthand the devastating impact of mountaintop removal coal mining. Would your administration support policies like the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2050, that take into account the impact coal has in our communities and help provide a path forward?
And, Senator, I know you know this, but just for the audience, 2050 says that they're going to halt any permits for mountaintop coal mining until there's an assessment done of impact on surrounding communities.
Now, before we get to the answer, I just want to point out something. I don't know who that young woman is. The young woman who asked the question and mentioned the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, I have no idea who she is. She was wearing a red bandana, and that's a symbol of a political movement here in West Virginia that's kind of spilled over into other parts of Appalachia. We can talk about that, the history of that, if you want to, but it's not neither here nor there for this. I don't know who the young woman is. She's a law student up at Pace University in New York, they said. She said she grew up in southern Appalachia, that she knows what mountaintop removal does. And people like Bo Webb and I have been working as hard as we possibly can on the AIC Act since early 2012. But what is far more important is that you, by virtue of being a part of this community, you know more about mountaintop removal than probably 99% of the people of the United States, because we've talked about it so much here. And it's you who have spread the word about the AIC Act on Twitter, on Facebook, among your friends, by email, over coffee. You have picked up the ball and taken it and run with it to the point that this human being, this young woman, gets to ask a question that was pretty obviously, it's obvious they made a decision to specifically include this question in the discussion. Cuomo boned up on the law, so on the bill, so that he would know how it operates. But you, members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, have worked and spread it and brought it into broader awareness to the point that it actually made it into a national discussion about climate change and about the future of this nation and the human species on this planet. And I can never, ever thank you enough for that. I cannot tell you how it stirs my heart that you have done that. This is the goodness and the decency that we as a community bring together in this little space every evening. And so for that, please accept my eternal and deeply heartfelt thanks. And I'm glad it was Elizabeth Warren who got the question. Because, when Elizabeth Warren gets needs to learn something, she learns it all the way down to the ground. So now I'm sure that she is probably the best versed individual in the entire United States Senate on the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. She probably now knows how grave is the public health crisis that stalks these hills and hollers. And she probably also now understands that it's not even an economic necessity. It's only done because it's quick and it's dirty. And it lines the banks and the corporations' pockets. And then later on, they fuck the workers, like coal companies always do. So let's go back to it and kind of bask in the moment again.
It's going to be about research and development, you bet. Part of it, we already know how to do. We know how to do offshore wind. We know how to do solar. The question is, are we willing to put the resources into it? And my answer is, yeah, we better be willing to put the resources into it, because the alternative is unthinkable. Life on Earth is at risk. And if we don't make this commitment, we not only cheat our children, we cheat their future and their children's future, and that is morally wrong. We have to be all the way.
So let's get an audience question about what you want to move away from. Let's bring in Robin Happel, Johnson City, Tennessee, an environmental law student at Pace University.
Fabulous. Good to see you.
Good evening. As someone who is born and raised in southern Appalachia, I have seen firsthand the devastating impact of mountaintop removal coal mining. Would your administration support policies like the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2050, that take into account the impact coal has in our communities and help provide a path forward?
And, Senator, I know you know this, but just for the audience, 2050 says that they're going to halt any permits for mountaintop coal mining until there's an assessment done of impact on surrounding communities.
And the answer is yes. We need to go where we were talking about earlier. You don't get to ruin the air for everyone else, the water for everyone else, the soil for everyone else. We don't just to help giant corporations. They don't get to make our kids sick. They don't get to shorten lifespans because it increases their profitability. You know what I think is the fundamental question right now? Is how we gotten ourselves into this mess? How has it gone this long when the climate science year after year after year has told us?
I can kind of answer that. How have we gotten here? How did we get into this mess? Because as much or more than any other region of this country, Appalachia has been, almost from jump, a sacrifice zone. It has been a place that the rest of the country looked at and said, who gives a damn? Fuck those hillbillies. They're a stupid bunch of inbred, incestuous, mean-spirited, ignorant hicks. Who gives a shit what we do to them? Why, hell, they're barely even Americans. That's how we got here. And we got here with politicians in this state and others who saw the place as only fit for liquidation, with the profits going into their pockets and the pockets of those who owned the politicians all along, the coal companies. That's how we got here. And we got here, floated along on a veritable river of blood. And it is largely innocent blood. And guess what? We have participated in our own doom. As we mentioned the other night, one of those miners down there blocking the railroad tracks in Kentucky was asked, well, did you vote for Trump? I don't want to talk about politics. A little bit later, did you vote for Trump? I don't want to talk about politics. A little bit later, did you vote for Trump? Well, yeah. And I would say probably north of 90% of people who work in the coal industry voted for Trump. They were chickens voting for Colonel Sanders. That's also how we got here. But with moments like this, we recognize that the tide is turning.
It's getting more and more dangerous out there. It's getting worse and worse for life on this earth. And the answer is because of Washington. We have a Washington that works great for the wealthy and the well-connected. A Washington that is working great for giant oil companies that want to drill everywhere. It's just not working for the rest of us who see climate change bearing down upon us. When you see a government that works great for those with money, a government that works great for those who can make big campaign contributions and hire armies of lobbyists and lawyers, and it's not working for everybody else, that is corruption pure and simple, and we need to call it out for what it is.
I agree. And the other thing she mentioned, and it just kind of went by, when she talked about poisoning the air for everybody, poisoning the water for everybody, and poisoning the soil for everybody, that too was a tell. That says that she has gotten, she's gotten aboard and read the research. Because people are made the primary vector of disease, mountaintop removal disease, toxic environmental disease, is via the airborne particulates. But along the way, we've also found out that they poison the water. And that's why they've been sued so many times, these coal companies. And then we also found out, by virtue of what the United States Geological Survey did, that the soil itself, the life-giving earth near these sites, has been poisoned from the fallout from the blasting. I remember a couple of years ago, a few years ago, when we were talking about polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, one of those groovy, sciencey words us hillbillies get to learn, alongside things like monocyclohexane methanol, or methylcyclohexane methanol. I bet there's a mono too, but this was methyl. That's how they put 300,000 people into an involuntary study of the effects of that chemical on human health a few years back. But those things are in the dirt. And apples hang from trees with a greasy, gritty film on them. And it clings to the siding on your house. And if it's on your house and on your food, it's in you. So kudos to Elizabeth Warren for really and for truly knowing her shit about as vital a piece of legislation as the AIC Act. And bonus, by keeping coal in the ground, the AIC Act is also a vital piece of climate change legislation. Because every piece of carbon we don't pull out of the earth, every hunk of coal, every cubic meter of gas, every barrel of oil that doesn't come out of the earth, gives us a little more hope for the future. So, yeah. Thank you to everybody who has joined in with the plucky little band of citizen activists who have pushed this bill for so long. There's still so much more to work to be done. And if you are so inclined, well, I implore you to keep after your member of the House of Representatives, because we don't have nearly as many co-sponsors as we need. And the one thing I will say is that it would be nice if the AIC Act had been introduced in the Senate. God knows we worked on that. We've worked on that for years. We're focused on the House now. But we've been in a ton of Senate, practically every Democratic Senate office, if not every Democratic Senate office. If we missed any, it was not by intent, but by lack of time and opportunity. So maybe it'll get introduced in the Senate now. It would be fantastic if it did. And that was a heartening moment. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Subject line, the question, and Cuomo. Steve in New York says, that exchange was one of the happiest moments I've had listening to the horn ever. It's stuff like this that is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a way forward. We just have to take it. And we have to try to bring as many people with us as we can. Now, the maggots, they'll probably never come along. But the maggots, well, they got one thing they focus on and one thing only. And by way of example, Jesus, this. Now, John Voight is a maggot of the First Order. Crazy with a capital CREEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEE what he thinks he's talking about. But as usual, he's tweeting to an audience of one. You get the hockey puck for this one. Because, I mean, this is just, this is 200-proof maggot stupid. Hold on tight.
Okay. This is not peace. This is not love. This is hate.
What is?
The radical left.
Ah, radical left, sure.
No amount of book smart will show the given policy of what truth stands for. Truth is a powerful emotion. Love is what we should be voting for. And I must say that we, the Republic...
Oh, and hold on. I kind of missed something here. I encouraged you to get the hockey puck. You might want to get a bucket, too. Because this is pretty well nausea-inducing. This is not peace. This is not love. Radical left. Bruga bruga. Norble. Warble. Whoosh. Narf.
Love is what we should be voting for. And I must say that we... The Republican Party have voted for renewal, for a place of safety, a community where all can have peace. But this is war among the left. They have hate. It's like a venom. No words of God, no words of love, but a radical emotion of hate. I've said this many times, and I'm saying it again. From the deep truths of my heart and soul, President Trump is a man of truths, love, and justice for the American people. And
Donald Trump is Superman? I mean, it kind of sounds like that's what he's saying, isn't it? Truth, love, and justice for the American people? Are you fucking kidding me? Where? One example, just one. One teeny tiny example. But, okay.
Also for the people of a sacred place, Israel. Not only does he love our country, the United States of America, but he has a love for the people of all nations. Let us pray for peace.
All nations? Even the shithole countries? Nambia? Bonomo? All nations? You sure about that, John?
Let us pray for this country, that President Trump will take on 4 more years of his strength, devotion, knowledge of truths, and all that doubt and who have extreme hate and anger toward President Trump, may they be shown differently, that President Trump is the greatest president of this century.
Okay, of this, I mean, at least he narrowed it down to 3, W, Obama, and him. Hell, how do you even make that argument that he's not 3rd out of 3? The dude is sitting in the Oval Office twooping about a weather map. And we get this? What the actual... I mean, that's some swirly straw in the rot gut tequila stuff. Yeah, Monique says, Bob, what the fuck? They got their cult king in office. Why are they so fucking obsessed with us on the left? I'm on the left, and I don't think about it as much as they do. Damn. Look, Monique, I call this the gay sex phenomenon. The gayest gay guy in America does not think about gay sex as much as any ordinary garden variety, average, everyday Southern Baptist does. The lesbianist lesbian in the United States does not think about lesbian sex as much as the ordinary garden variety Methodist does. And then there's the amount of time that, well, look, your Jerry Falwell Jr.'s and your Kenneth Copeland's and your Pat Robertson's et al. Think about gay sex more often than the entirety of the LGBTQ community combined. And so it's the same way with the maggots. They're obsessed with making us be as stupid as they are. Because deep down in whatever it is that they have in that spot that is occupied perhaps by the soul in other people, They know. They know what a shitbag he is. They know what a horror show he is. But they know that he makes them feel good about what dirtbags they are. And as a consequence, they feel the need to try to make us, force us, compel us to be as mean and nasty and vile and hateful as they are. That's my only explanation. Listen, let me make something clear here. I still don't have the stress line back into operation. So if you want to reach the program, you're going to have to dial 304-574-8178. Or you can get in via Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Either way is fine by me. Okay, a little more John Voight, and then we can put the bucket away.
Let us take a stand for liberty and justice for all.
Well, sure, John, for all. For all, except, well, you know, all those kids in cages, all those 1,100 kids that the Trump regime has just lost. Liberty and justice for all, except the kids who have died of preventable diseases. Liberty and justice for all, John Voight, except for the ones who are trying to recover from an outbreak of mumps in our concentration camps. Liberty and justice for all white people. Just go ahead and say it, John Voight. Liberty and justice for all white people. You'll feel so much better. Steve in New York says on Voight, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. He's jumped the shark and is also punking us. Hey, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one, Steve. Meanwhile, Flavio, subject line John Voight, just ruined dinner for the entire central time zone. Well, yeah, and may have started a run on dinner in the mountain time zone. It's a possibility. But on any given day, you can see this goofy shit all over social media. Because they're a minority, but they're a noisy minority. Oh my fucking God, says Tracy. That's all I can say. I see Mr. Voight from time to time in my neighborhood, and it takes every fiber of my being not to run up on him and slap the shit out of him and scream, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" But of course, I have enough sense to know that if I slap a doddering old ass while white fool in Encino, I'm going to jail. So that helps me keep my hands to myself. But damn, Bob, the struggle is real. And no, I don't think about lesbian sex as often as maggots do. See? You know, the maggots, they may be the biggest closet in America. Maybe in the world. Yeah. Lee in New York, John Voight. Here's the bottom line. It's his religious belief. Trump is great. Facts do not matter. Yeah, I mean, that's probably, as close to and as precise an answer as anyone's likely to come up with. Albert, meanwhile, says, Bob, that guy's not drinking rot gut tequila. I think he's been mainlining 100% pure LSD-25. Dude. Peace, love, Donald Trump loves America. Right. Okay, well, let's go over and see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, I'm calling you from Alabama. I'm in Florida, really, but it could be Alabama. Who knows?
Same, right?
Jesus Christ, Bob. Jesus Christ. Oh, where do I begin? Let's turn my AC up. Okay, first of all, hi, program. How the hell are you? I'm here with, feeling blessed. I got HD that I have to turn off, which after getting struck by Category 5, you don't have. My floor is wet. Probably need to mop. And my phone works. These are all things. And the internet works great. It's been a little bit chipper.
So far, that's winning.
That is the general vibe in South Florida. People are low key high fiving because, you know, we see the Bahamas, which at certain points only 70 miles away. And we're like, yeah, that's what a Category 5 looks like if it's just over 40 hours. I can't even imagine. So, you know, the thing about Trump, and I think he still might be reelected, but I think his last month, I think even the stupid people in the back. Ooh, wait a second. I can't believe he started a projection report. I've been watching projection reports for the last 2 weeks. Terrified of it. But, and then some hurricane, obviously.
Yeah.
And I never saw, I saw something about 7 days ago. But, Alabama and the lack of power in the state. Elected over in northern Florida. The funny thing was that state park, this park at Mar-a-Lago, that is where it was parked was at Mar-a-Lago. You know that? That was crazy. So maybe that's why he invented the storm once Alabama. Because,
well, it would have, it would have taken it over Mar-a-Lago. And he would have cashed in his chips on the taxpayer-funded National Flood Insurance Program because he's got coverage from that. So we could have, you know, we could have lined his pockets a little bit more. Not like we haven't been all along, but as far as a grifter like him is concerned, every dollar is a good dollar.
My biggest concern about being hit was like, oh shit. Some stuff does it, you know? And you know what? All he has to do is, hey, Calvary's coming. We got you. We got, no, we fucked that up. He drew a map. He could even have said, I heard Bama, Bahamas, black people is one of them. And everybody would have laughed that would have been great. But I he's four times. Then he came up with a bullshit map that somebody was on his painted himself. What are we going to do, Bob? Seriously.
That's the weird thing, Jerry, is that people are responding to Sharpie Gate almost with more alarm than they, not even almost, but I guess it's because there's a persistent visual that goes with it.
You can't look away either. You can't go, well, that's my guy. He's fine. No, you can't. You can't look away.
No.
I mean, I think making fake calls to the Chinese, that was worse. Of course, kids in cages. Cannibalizing FEMA so you can build a fence. Where do you begin?
Shaking down the Pentagon and taking money out of the daycare budget for military family. You know, this is twice in 2 weeks that he has gone after the children of military families. If God knows, if Barack Obama had done that, there would be pitchforks and torches held by a million people outside the White House. Rush Limbaugh would have had triplets by now. It would have been nonstop. It would have been worse than the tan suit.
But what, you know, I'll talk about my hurricane theory another time. That high pressure system came out of nowhere, let's just say. It was weird. Okay. Arctic storm. You know, there's just, I don't know. I saw a plane in the sky and then the storm stopped. That's all. $1 trillion of real estate. Maybe multiple years. So, it's been mitigating climate change. We still a bunch of blind people in the water. So that's kind of what felt like what happened. That's coincidence. We were all ready to take the punch. But that would have made people look bad.
Now, Jerry, you're breaking up a little bit, buddy. You get a little muffled from time to
time. Hold on a second. Let me do this, because hey. I'm like...
Oh, man, right, that's a million times better.
You hear me now?
Yeah, that's so much better.
All right. I think they stopped that storm, and it killed a bunch of people in the Bahamas.
What do you mean, stopped?
I think they created a high... pressure thing.
You think
saw them do it.
You think they can do that?
I've seen it. I've seen 30 storms, and when something's about to break shit, I see, not now, I'm going to say chemtrails, but don't go all crazy. I see some kind of high altitude plane. It leaves a trail that doesn't move. It's usually windy, and then usually the projection changes. I think in doing this, though, they parked it over the Bahamas because they were expendable. Now, this is some Art Bell coast-to-coast shit, but I live here.
Yeah, I mean, but at least you've got the common decency to say that.
Yeah, no, I live here, and I saw it where I saw it, where it stuck out, not even for this one, it stuck out for Ivan in 2004 because that was hitting the Texas oil fields, and then it slowed down. It was a huge, one of the biggest storms ever. And it was about to crank up and go to 130, 140, and they just kept it at 90. It still ripped the fuck out of Galveston, but it was only 90 miles an hour, if you get what I'm saying, instead of, like, what it was supposed to do.
Well, you know, not on that topic per se, but there's an aspect of climate change that touches all of this, and it has to do with the fact, I don't know if you know this, but this is the first year there has been that the sea ice at the North Pole completely melted, just gone.
Yeah, there was a storm with 220 mile an hour winds just 100 miles away from me, Bob, that was here for 3 days.
Yeah,
on the planet, huh?
So
this is what happens.
Yeah, so when all that ice melts, It changes aspects of the winds and the tides. And from 1944 to the present, hurricanes, and you know, what was it? Was it 1929 when that one monster hit the Keys? And just
1934, the Labor Day storm.
Yeah, yeah. Just scrubbed it clean. Scrubbed them clean. Well, since
this was a...
Since
19, this was that quality.
Since 1944, the hurricanes have gotten bigger, but they've gotten slower, and so
terrifying.
Yeah, and so they tend to just sit there and churn. I mean, everybody's seen the big red spot on Jupiter, and of course, you could drop planet Earth inside that red spot about 50 times, or maybe 100. I don't know, but. The scientists explained to us that red spot on Jupiter is actually a giant storm that's been spinning for thousands of years. And when I see pictures of things like Dorian from space, it reminds me a hell of a lot of the storm, you know, the red spot on Jupiter.
There have been planet-wide, I would say, 15 Category 5s in the last 10 years.
Yeah, since we started. Well, there have been four. There have been five in the last four.
Yeah. And each one's worse than the last.
And so when President Piss for Brains stands there and says, I've heard of Cat Fives, but I've never actually heard of one happening. This is just wow. There have been four on his watch. There have been four Category 5 hurricanes, and he can't remember even one of them.
It's not even El Nino year. Do you hear what I'm saying? Or our problem is La Nina. La Nina is the motherfucker. 2005 was in La Nina year. 29 named storms. Next year is a La Nina year. Just running around getting water and tape and razor blades and bleach and all those post-apocalyptic things you'll miss about civilization, which is what you're actually doing, because you don't know if you'll ever get civilization back. Ask Puerto Rico about that little equation, or ask that place that got smashed before Puerto Rico. They have one of those islands, they still have to put it back together. Still. Everybody just left. And on top of all of that, you have a president who couldn't leave it alone, and he had to draw with a Sharpie on an official map. Fuck that the law says you can't make a fake, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's a law against giving, there is literally a federal criminal statute against giving a false weather forecast.
They say that during, I've read this, I haven't looked deep into it, but during a storm, the Yakuza are usually the first one there with relief. And they make sure everybody plays nice and there's no rioting and people keep their shit together. That's kind of one of the reasons.
In Japan,
the,
yeah.
The government. Yeah. So if this guy, I can't give him any credit on any subject. If he was a mob boss, all right, this is protect your family. You know, you got a storm going. You can't even do that. A Category 5 has the power of multiple atomic bombs. If you go, it's going to hit Alabama. It's like a scene in Airplane where everybody's running around and everything's on fire, as it should be. Oh, the president said, we're about to get fucked up, y'all. Run and scream. And we chuckle about it. And you know what? It's September 5th. I'm halfway done with hurricane season. I got to whistle past the graveyard 45 more days. Give or take.
And there are a couple out there cooking now, aren't they?
The one four back concerns me. The other ones don't really bug me. They're fine. Like I said, we're in a cooling year. Next year is when the party starts. And it was coming on his side of the state where he has property, where he personally needs Florida. And I think it takes a lot to, well, my ex-daughter-in-law said something in her Facebook, and she's a Trumper. She goes, you know what I hate about Florida? When they say Category 4 and above, I have to pay attention. There is no fucking around during a hurricane in Florida. We don't have many rules here. That's one of those rules. No gouging, no cutting in line, you don't cut in the gas line, you don't steal somebody's water. You hear what I'm trying to say, Bob?
Yeah, oh, sure.
And he fucked up the information pipeline, which you got to notice that. I don't know.
And yet
there's so much.
And the wildest part of it is because I try to keep up with a little Alabama news from time to time because, well, you know, born there. And there are maggots in Alabama who are saying that he was telling the truth. And that they were being given fake weather.
Get that check done, man. Get that FEMA check for your damage. He still hasn't fixed Mexico Beach.
No.
You don't see pictures from up there.
No, my son went down to work on relief after that. He lasted about a month.
He actually went down there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it just chewed him to pieces. He couldn't.
Yeah,
West Virginia is a pretty beaten up, bedraggled place. You don't have to go far to see some pretty bone crushing poverty. But what he saw in Mexico Beach was unlike anything he'd ever seen.
That's what hurricanes do, especially when they're Cat 5. And I think we had this conversation a while ago before Mexico Beach, that they lie about categorizations because of, what's that word called, capitalism and insurance payout. I don't know. You'd like to think that the money's starting to go, hey, this guy's going to fuck us up. And I'm talking about the money. Like,
well, I mean, that's like the larger debate about climate change. Most of your insurance company executives are what we used to call rock-ribbed Republicans.
Yeah.
They spend their lives worrying about money.
We're chasing a penny.
Yeah.
Across a spreadsheet, yeah.
But because they are in the risk business, they have to be better at calculating odds and risk than the most cold-blooded, ice water in the veins, the Texas Hold'em player in Vegas.
I dated an actuary who was in the bondage. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that's a topic for another call.
That's a call by itself. Yes,
that's a 3-hour program. And so when the insurance guys are told that the planet is in trouble, that humanity is in trouble, that means by definition that their money is in trouble. And when an insurance executive's money is in trouble, insurance executives get the turtle squirts. And so they know, they damned well know what he's up to, but they've been willing to tolerate him for as long as they have, because nominally, the money has been okay with it. But between the tariffs and inaction on climate change, Republican money is getting a little twitchy.
And the guns. You can't, if you can't go to a public space, that's how you start a recession. Seriously. People need to run around, buy and sell and drink.
Well, yeah, that's why,
you know.
That's why W stood on that heap of smoking rubble on September the 14th or whenever and said, y'all need to buy plane tickets. Y'all need to go to Disney World.
Shit, man. Yeah.
Go shopping. Because most of America at that point in time was perfectly happy to hunker down and hope that the 6-foot-6-inch Arab with the portable dialysis machine didn't come for them.
Hunkering down is in the blood.
So, you know, I gotta think that things are moving, and you know, it's all the anonymous sources. But people are talking to journalists and saying, listen, it's getting bad up in here.
You can tell. You can
And now there's feuding. I mean, you know why Mike Pence stayed at Trump's hotel in Ireland?
Because Trump told him to.
You're goddamn right. You want to be vice president some more? You want to run with me in 20? You stay in my fucking hotel. Because you mentioned mob boss a little bit ago. The guy fancies himself a mob boss. He has surrounded himself with the mob all his life.
Except mob bosses care how shit looks and how it runs.
There right, no, because no at the end of the day, the entire reason for a mob, again, is money.
Yeah.
And when the money starts getting sick, they'll catch the damn flu. And so you got people talking about wanting to put a woman on the ticket with Trump for 2020.
You got Mike Pence out there lying four or five different times about why they did the business with his hotel in Ireland. The rats aren't leaving the sinking ship yet, but they're scurrying to the Lido deck.
Do you know how you beat? I've saved up McCall's. I know how to beat Trump. You need comedy writers. That's how you beat
Trump. He needs
to beat Trump with policy.
No, he needs to be relentlessly and mercilessly mocked every time he sets foot in public.
Every time a candidate answers a question, there's a shot at Trump. Why? Because he can't let it go, whatever it is. You need, the only person who can beat Trump is Trump. So you got to make him act out and piss his pants in front of all his supporters so they don't show up. They're going to say they're wrong. They're not going to vote for Warren or Buttigieg or Harris or
But the maggots are going to vote for Trump. I mean, but
not if he's a mess. That's how you make him a mess. You have him defend his record.
Well, you and I have a divergence of opinion there, because I think the maggots will go down with the ship with him. And the maggots are about 33% of the electorate.
Yeah, but not if you make them look stupid. Not if their buddies go, did you see what your boy Trump did? Not if they can't, if he looks bad. It's all a thin fucking veneer, a micron thick. And if you try to bombard it with ideas, it won't work. He sheds ideas like rain. Ridicule. Scorn.
Well, and that's straight out of Rules for Radicals. You know, Saul Alinsky said that mockery and contempt are among the most useful tools in the radical toolkit.
I mean, here's one. I'll just throw one out. I feel hot today. Do we want 4 years of more Trump farts in the White House? Can you imagine what that behind that desk smells like? Seriously.
Jesus.
You see the look, everybody? That hit on all levels. That's what you need. We can't policy our way out of this. If Hillary Clinton would have said, you son of a bitch, what the fuck are you doing? Once, he would have won the election.
Yeah, when he was stalking her around the debate, if she had turned around and said, get away from me, you creep.
Something visceral. This has become spectacle, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a...
I call him Nitwit Nero for a reason. You know, Nero really didn't want to be emperor that much. He wanted to be an actor and pluck the lyre on stage and be adored by his fans. Well, what more than that is Donald Trump constant... Jesus, he's on Twitter blithering about The Apprentice still. That was the greatest moment. That was the greatest moment in his life.
And you know what? You're going to have to give Horn Nation, and by extension, it's time to give Nancy a standing ovation. Miss P, she did it. Here's why. Starting with the Stormy Daniels thing, you won't be able to shut up about that. And the more he talks, the worse he looks. Good shit. And it is a campaign finance violation.
Yeah, and
he did curse himself on TV, like, you know, some guy who had a blowjob over a long fucking weekend where they shut the government down. I think that's the irony of irony right there.
Yeah, the timing.
Yeah. Shit, we can't work. Anybody want a blowjob? I want a blowjob. I mean, you know. I don't know. That, you know, that's the whole monitor. Yeah, that's how it happened. Everybody's just kind of hanging out, eating peanuts. But no, seriously, comedy. That's the only way. And insults.
Yeah, and the person who's willing to do that may be the one who answers the question, can this, you know, who can take on Trump? Well, the person who can take on Trump is the person
who can make him hurt.
Yes, who can make him unhinged, where Fox can't even clean it up.
Because there is that scene at the end of the Kane Mutiny.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Have people at questioning things. Like, how much do you pay Melania per inch? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
All below the belt.
Play with him.
Because he can't fix.
Play his own game with it. I'm not in particular disagreement with your theory.
I'm a Democrat who won an election, Bob. Actually, I'm an independent. Democrats are way too right wing for me. But if I have to vote for somebody, they have a big D by them. And it was timing and dirty tricks. And then I was a competent bureaucrat after that. We all got to go on a little class trip. We all left the state. And nobody had to pay for it more than, a couple $100. But yeah, dirty tricks. And because policy doesn't work. It doesn't, you're never going to get to the policy unless you can get the rubes in the back to go along with you.
And there are places where questions, Jerry, arise as to how you get a few maggots to come along. Kentucky's one of those places.
How do you get a few maggots? Anybody want to mine an asteroid? It's time for Democrats to start telling slightly big lies, too. What do you mean? Well, the Green New Deal, I think, would take off in the next 12 years, which is really what we need. We need to start slowing shit down in the next 12 years. If we sold power to the rest of the world, and you can get the Warhawks on board by going, hey, we can build energy weapons too and spaceships. Get us off the ground in space, get us all excited about something and all working on the same team. And whoever wants to work, whatever it is the hell you're doing, you get to build something up there. And somebody said this, it was on a podcast, but I was like, that's it. We're not going to become a space-faring people unless we solve this climate problem. But to solve this climate problem, we're going to have to be a space-faring people. Somebody said this may be the next stage of our development. We're going to have to evolve out of it.
Oh, I saw the recent story that the Chinese drone or rover or whatever on the backside of the moon.
Yes.
Found,
ran into something sticky.
Yeah, it ran into some goo. Moon goo.
Primordial goo, maybe.
Well, just the idea of goo in that, airless vacuum. There has to be water to be goo, or there has to be some sort of liquid something. Weird stuff.
Well, there's if you pick up a rock on planet Earth, there's life on top, there's life beneath that. And there's different life when the sun is in the air and when the moon's in the air. So the thing is, and I believe that every religion and every sect and every belief system has some kind of truth. The witches say as above, as so below, so above. That's why a germ looks like a galaxy, if you look at it right. So this is our fight. We need to get our funny back and stop screeching, because you know what? Too many of us did sit home, and now kids are in cages. Short messages. You don't need to go on and on. And we need to sell power to the rest of the world by a solar grid that floats above our heads. We can take the next 5 years of defense budgeting and do that and say, hey, we'll let you kill things. Just help. And you get all those contractors on board, all those ancillary contractors, they get to come on board and they get to build something that doesn't kill people, which I'm sure they'd be pretty excited about. And then maybe we start to if there's free power. Shit, that's one of the Star Trek things we talk about all the time, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah, free power. And you figure in another 20 years, there's going to be 14 billion people on this planet. If And it's all the ones coming up. And they're going to go through the whole cycle, the little gas engine, then this, that, and the other thing. The way to save the climate is you have, when they're ready, you sell them some power instead of coal or oil or something like that.
We can, I mean, I know this to be fact. We can gather solar electricity in space and literally beam it to Earth stations.
We could do it in 1960.
I know the guy who's got the detailed plan.
It's the same technology that makes Wi-Fi and cell phones work. But, you know, there's the Koch. I was going to say the Koch brothers. I was like, there's only one, the Koch dude. He's not going to make any money off of that. It's been never so. I used to live in an idealistic universe, and it's never been so clear to me that universe doesn't exist unless I choose to create it, because you're talking about 20 guys who won't get to eat so the whole world can fucking burn. That's the scary part. We're not talking about that many guys. Maybe 50 guys who run the families who run power on the planet and energy production. But they got a lot of money. They got trillions. So that's the fight we fight. Shit.
Yeah.
And they kill people readily.
Yeah, I prefer when I refer to the Kochs, I prefer to refer to them as Chuck and Still Dead Dave. Because see, he died, but his money didn't. So while he can't do any harm in his own right now. But and it's a term from old French that wound its way into the Anglo-American legal system. His mortmain still can, and mortmain means his dead hand. So Still Dead Dave's dead hand can still reach into into America's body politic. Or can still reach up and pour poison into the ear of our slumbering body politic like Hamlet's father.
Those guys ruined everything. Those are the guys who stopped trains and buses for the last 50 years. And supercharged batteries and hydrogen technology. And we can't even say that, hey, there's no ice in the Arctic. That's really never happened before. And no, really, there's supposed to be category one storms and maybe a two. They're not supposed to all be fives. This thing was a five and a four longer than it was anything else. But I said that before. I said that about Maria.
Because they sit in that hyper-warmed water and churn and just, you know, these are all energy transfers.
No, it's because it doesn't get cool here anymore. In December.
Right. And so it just stays warm. And eventually, hurricane season will expand. And so you and everybody else in Florida will be whistling past the graveyard, not for 2 months, but maybe three or four.
No, we're whistling past the graveyard for 5 months now.
Yeah.
Because hurricane season used to start August 1st. Then it was July 1st. Now it's June 1st. I bring this up because I've had this conversation. I had this conversation 30 years ago, and I had this conversation 35 years ago with my dad. My dad was talking about, hey, my dad's a working man type guy, working man genius. He goes, you know, all these cars, we were in New York looking at the highway. He goes, where does all this gas go when they burn it? And he made me think about that. I was like, damn, I never even thought about that. And I went to a good school down here. And this was in 1982, I think, Hurricane David. The good school, the type of school where if one of the kids had a question about one of the events of the day or the events of the month, the curriculum would be kicked to the side and they would talk about what was really going on. And Mr. Lane, giving your shout out, Mr. Lane, if you can hear this, Mr. Bruce Lane, he said that a Category 5 is so rare. that if you saw a lot of them, it would mean that he was very much a hippie. It would mean that the climate was heating up. And then he caught himself, because that wasn't the type of thing he was supposed to talk about in 1982. He said, I doubt that you'd ever see another one, because it's just, you know, but no, Category 5 hits, Jesus. And then he talked about Betsy or Donna, but that was on his own. And he was a budget oceanographer, so he used to scuba dive and everything else. Here we are. Where, my point is, this was the crazy part. 20 years ago when they said there was a Category 5, it was like that airplane scene, everybody running around, hair on fire. This time, capitalism didn't stop. Oh, where's it going exactly? Where's the eyewall go? We're not going to stop here. We're not going to board anything up. We're just going to keep going. In fact, you have to be at work. What are you doing?
And meanwhile, meanwhile, last year, what was it, a Cat 1 that flooded South Carolina and North Carolina practically all the way inland?
Yeah, it stopped. They both stopped. It was Florence.
Yeah,
Cat 1, barely,
right.
But it didn't move for 3 days. But Harvey was a Cat 4, and that didn't move for a week and made images that looked like Photoshop. I'm like, no, people are like, no, this is actually happening. And those places still aren't fixed, but my point was these Category 5s are starting to become like the shootings almost Monday.
That's profound. Yeah, we'll get to the point where we don't even talk about the Cat 1s. Just like the family that got massacred in Alabama by the 14-year-old boy.
That's just a normal massacre. Shit, no automatic weapons are involved.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Or the fact that if you go to Walmart,
and
your head is on a fucking swivel. It is. Your head has to be on a swivel. Because it goes down at Walmart.
I don't go to movies very often anymore.
Hey, the last movie I went to was that Colorado. In fact, okay, I have to make a movie pronouncement.
Yes.
I don't normally do this. Alita Battle Angel. Nothing serious happens, and it's great.
Cool.
Post-apocalyptic. I'm going to go out. It's up there with Blade Runner. And
really?
James Cameron. It's a James Cameron joint. Yeah. Roger Rodriguez. And the main character, I fell in love with a cyborg.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's like Pinocchio meets Transformers. It really is amazing.
Okay. So I'll be looking for that. Yeah. Scott up on his recommendation last night, and Agnes and I watched Dave Chappelle's Sticks and Stones.
I heard that was good. How was it?
Oh, it's fantastic. It is also, as previously billed, fucking brutal.
Of course, it has to be. Comedians are the only ones who can save us.
And I'm sure pretty soon there'll be, you know, boycott Dave Chappelle hashtags all over social media.
There already is. I was seeing the negativity about Dave. I can't believe it. I was like, oh, I gotta catch that because it must be pretty good. Dave Chappelle's a genius.
Well, just not to give anything away, but when the set begins with him riffing on the suicide of Anthony Bourdain.
Wow.
And as good humor should be, you know, not comedy, not jokes. There's a big damn difference between a comedian and a humorist. It's uncomfortable as hell. And part of the time you're laughing and the other time you're squirming.
Well, the squirming is what builds comedy. The discomfort, as it were, the tension.
That's why when you look at a person and you don't have any audio, you look at a photograph of a person laughing, you can't tell whether they're happy or miserable.
Yeah. You have to have context, or you don't know for sure. How's Ferg doing, by the way?
Hard to say. It's hard to say. Not as good as he should be. But
probably going to have to pay closer attention to his diet. We have two brains, you know.
The gut brain and the head brain. Yep.
Yes. And there's they're finding in the last 5 years that anybody on any kind of spectrum is, whatever the problem is, ADHD, autism, bipolar, all of it is controlled by one gene.
Jesus.
And, yeah, it's all the same gene. It's kind of like a shader, almost, I was thinking, you know? And the two things that help are a diet change, simpler ingredients, more natural ingredients, and CBD. Outbreaks of retarded behavior, we'll just say, might be from gut inflammation. When you feel bad, you eat bad, so it's a loop.
Well, God knows there's, you know, between the processed foods and all that, you know, we don't do well by ourselves as a species.
He needs a mission, maybe a girlfriend, and I think he's an artist.
Oh, there's no doubt of that.
Sounds like some artist shit.
There's no doubt of that. I've often thought if we could ever get to the point where we would expand the studio, I'd let him be the house band.
Wow.
And just, you know, set him up with a keyboard and a guitar and let him go to town. You know, for the breaks and stuff. But Jerry, I got a roll, brother.
You got to do what you do. I'm glad you're there so I can just scream into the phone, because otherwise I'd be talking to myself, you know, with my underwear on the other side of my pants at the corner going, is this normal? A person's not supposed to be, you know, and they'd take me away. They really would, because this is scary. Even after a couple of drinks, you know?
Yeah.
It's scary.
No shit. No shit. Jerry, take it easy, brother.
You too.
Be good.
Thanks,
man.
Bob.
Later. Our buddy Scary Jerry down in South Florida, reporting from one of the strangest places on earth. I just got this from Sparky over in the chat room. I guess this goes back to Tuesday. Stormy Daniels has said she's more than comfortable testifying before Congress under oath. This after announcements that the Democrats in the House are going to delve into the hush money payments. You know, the hush money payments where Donald Trump was engaged in felony conspiracy to commit alongside Michael Cohen. Some maggot said, either she needs to be under oath in Congress or I don't care what she has to say. She needs to be put under oath in Congress to testify or don't bother with this stripper. I bet she doesn't, because she'd get busted for lying. Well, that maggot doesn't have a blue check mark, but Stormy Daniels does. And she said, I have no fear of being under oath because I have been and will be honest. Bring it. And the problem with all of this is that it takes time. And Congress moves, well, it's become a phrase that we don't necessarily use anymore. But it's become, Congress moves glacially, which is to say, slowly. From over on Twitter, Eileen in New York City says, pundits today were saying the same as you guys, humiliate him like Sharpie Gate. He can't stand to be criticized and defends his mistake like a pit bull. Won't let go ever. And then a reminder when I was talking about, you know, the money is okay as long as things remain relatively normal and stable. Yosemite over on Twitter says, Republicans love useful idiots. How long did Reagan stay in office while suffering from Alzheimer's? And that story about Leslie Stahl, who spiked her own story. She was to do an interview with Reagan as he left at the end of his second term. And when she was led into the Oval Office, she saw a guy who wasn't home. And for a moment there, she felt an almost journalistic duty, Leslie Stahl did, to warn the nation. But then her husband engaged Ronnie, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, in some showbiz talk, and he perked up, and so she decided not to warn the nation that the guy with his thumb on the nuclear button was out of his ever-loving mind. And they managed to keep things just normal-ish enough to get him out of the White House and let George H.W. Bush take over, when in fact George H.W. Bush had probably been shouldering a good bit of the presidential burden for a while. Because Ronnie, well, by that point in time, Ronnie was the only guy the only person in the United States who didn't know Ronald Reagan had been president. And I'm talking about nature taking its course. I'm not talking about anything dramatic or, God knows, nonviolent. I don't subscribe to violence. But when the end comes to Donald J. Trump, it is going to be brutal. It is going to be sorry. It's going to be miserable. And it's going to have, except for the fact that there's nothing admirable about him, it will have all the earmarks of a Greek tragedy. Because that's the only way it can end. A life lived as he has lived it, ignobly, will come to an ignoble conclusion. And he will flip right the fuck out next month. House hearings on the hush money payments could happen as early, it's being reported, as October. He will come apart. So we got about 17 minutes left in the program. Remember, I got to knock off early because I'm filling in for Malloy again this evening. But we've got $200 to go to draw up even on fundraising for the week. So we've only got $200 to do tomorrow. Barring that, it'll be, you know, a little community made miracle time tomorrow, and 400. Be nice to only have the two to worry about, if possible. And thanks to Charlene and Tracy and Kat for jumping in on Randy's when billionaires choose, you lose challenge. Thank you very kindly. Let's run over to Skype and see what's going on with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How the hell are you?
You know, I'm here, you're there, and we're doing some radio.
You know, I'm stuck in traffic, and so you'll probably get ready, be leaving by the time maybe I'll get home. I don't know what's happening on the freeway. I called Jan, and because she's always watching the news. I'm like, honey, was there anything on the traffic report saying what the fuck is going on in the 101? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay. Because the freeway signs, typically from where I start to where I end, it's usually about a 25-minute ride. And today, it said, the freeway sign said 50 minutes. I'm like, what the entire fuck? 50 goddamn minutes? For real, dog? Nah. And yeah, so I told Janice, so I'll see you around 5 o'clock. She's like, all right, cool. So yeah, I'm creeping up on my house. Eventually I'll be there, but whatever. So let's talk happy shit.
Okay? Oh, dude,
let's talk happy shit. So happy shit. So I looked, okay, so background, Horn family. Hi, y'all. I know it's been a minute. So I know I talked a while ago that I was going to go to Europe and do a cruise and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to figure out how to deal with my brother-in-law, the Trump supporter, and all that bullshit and all that. And so I got to talking to the wife, and the wife and I talked. She was trying to convince me that we should go. I was in a foul mood. I could not get out of the fact that I was going to spend all this fucking money to go to Europe and be on a ship for at least a week on the ship, you know, flying from California, because I had to fly from LA to London, and then London to Athens, and then, you know, the ship, and then stop at, you know, we ended in Barcelona, and then Barcelona, and I'm like, we're talking a shit ton of money. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go spend a shit ton of money and spend it with somebody that I might kill. On top of the fact, you know, God only knows, you know, we hope people get the question right in November of 2020. And I'm like, I don't want to spend that kind of money not knowing what's going to happen next year because people are still stupid. That part. So what the wife and I decided to do, we said, you know what? Let's do a road trip. So we're going to do,
road trip.
I just kind of Google shit, road trip. So we're going to do a fall road trip from D.C. to Boston.
Cool.
And so I'm looking around. And so then I talked to you earlier and you're like, baby, you know, I know what you do. You drive a car for a living and I'm trying to save you some stress and anguish and possibly save your marriage. So all that old thinking about driving from D.C., even with the stops and all that.
Hello, Los Angeles. I'm listening. Yes.
Don't do it. You know, consider taking a train. And I'm like, the train. So I did. I went and looked at the how do you say, Acela? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, so I looked, so Mama Tracy looked up the Acela, and Mama Tracy liked what she saw. So, I haven't said anything to Jan about it yet, but I'm pretty sure she won't be mad. But I was looking at the stop. I can see everything that I wanted to see. I can, you know, go from D.C. to, I just got to figure out, do I go D.C. to New York? Do I do D.C., Pennsylvania, then New York? You know, me and geography, not so much. And then, like you said, rent the car at Boston and do all that stuff up in Boston and the Cape and all that. So now, October 2020, that's what we're going to do. And it's going to cost probably nowhere near, it's probably going to cost half, if not a quarter, of what we were going to spend to go overseas. Because just the airfare alone, Bob, was going to cost at least $1,000 a person.
Damn.
At least.
Yeah, L.A. to
and
Athens.
That's coach.
Yeah. L.A. to Athens, that's what? 12 hours of supreme discomfort.
Right. And see, I'm not going to... And see, here's the deal, baby. I'm not going to... Because, you know, I could be kind of, you know, I every so often, you know, that uppity Negro gene jumps around. And so.
Negress.
Okay, the uppity Negress gene comes up, and I'm like, I'm not flying coach for 12 hours. Not going to do. I got to do at least, you know, main cabin or, you know, business class or whatever. And so that's, like I said, that's like about $1,200 a person for our airfare. And the cruise was going to be, let's just say it's a shit ton of money. And
if you go to Boston, you can go and you can go aboard the USS Constitution and you can say, "See, we got on a boat."
That part. And somebody was telling me about some ferry that goes around in Boston Harbor and all that shit, and we can go to New York and go see.
You can park the car and have a yard.
And stuff like, and have a real, for the same amount of time.
Have some chowder.
And visit the, because after you talked about seeing, when you went to Philadelphia, I'm like, holy shit, I want to go to Philadelphia. So I'm going to, I want to do Philadelphia. I want to do Boston. I want to do Cape Cod. I want to do New York. To see Jan, I've been to D.C. Jan's never been to D.C. We both have been to New York, but I want to go back.
Yeah, you got to get, my particular favorite, the National Museum of Art there in the Smithsonian Complex on the Mall, that's a day.
Right there. And, of course, I got to go to the African-American Museum just to go see things that would piss off Trump. So that part.
They love me in the Netherlands. They love me in the Netherlands.
Oh, that suck.
Yeah, and it's right there next door to the Museum of the American Indian. And, that okay, so there's 2 days in D.C.
That's 2 days. And I know even though Atlantic City isn't all that, I've always wanted to see it. Plus, because I gamble, I get to stay at any of the Harris Hotels in Atlantic City for free. So, there's that. So I just, and when you were talking about the train, I'm like, that makes a lot of fucking sense. I don't have to worry about that. Now, I did find something, and I got to do more research because I was reading about the, Stella Express. They don't have luggage. You have to, it's only carry on.
Yeah.
So, that could be problematic because if we're going to be gone for 10 days, Chase is a light packer. So I got to figure that shit out. I mean, it could be done.
The lotions alone are one bag.
Right. That part, because they don't make, they do not make stuff for black people. We need real lotion. I can't do travel size in my lotion. If I do it right, like I said, and I got to talk to my baby brother. He's the one that lived up in San Francisco who has moved down here. He's lived in the Bay Area for 15 years, but his girlfriend's like, at that point, she's like, cause they've been together for 3 or 4 years. And she tried to find a job up there. She's a MD. And she's like, okay, I can't find a job up there. So you have to move back down. You have to come back home. And he wasn't all that happy, but he wanted to keep the girl. But my brother is an expert packer. Between him and my baby sister, who is a flight attendant, they know how to pack. So I might have to get some packing lessons. Because when you were telling me about that, that train, I'm like, who? And I mean, you are allowed 2 bags, I think, and two carry-ons or whatever. So it can be done. And it's not like, I can't ship back if I have to, that if we buy stuff and if the thing, these new things called, laundromats, if necessary.
Yeah. So, and one of the neat things, one of the neat things that I found is that a lot of the modern synthetic fabrics, they can be loose and billowy or skin tight or whatever you want, but they're ultralight and they pack wonderfully.
So what I'm going to, So now that I have an idea, and now that, you have now got me, and I was looking at the train fare. It's about, from D.C. to Philly, it's about $120 a person. And when you think about how much it's going to cost if we rent a car and pay for parking, gas, insurance, and all that, well, we never pay for insurance on a rental car because, we have real credit cards. So that shit is covered. Plus, we have auto insurance, so we are more than covered. you know, in case of an accident or what have you. So I'm going to do more research, but it looks like that's what we might do. You know, take the train, you know, fly into D.C. and do these two, you know, maybe three days or so in D.C. and then do day trips, you know, a day trip in New York, day trips in, you know, Philly, a day trip in, you know, Atlantic City or whatever, and then do New York or whatever, and do, you know, Boston or, you know, however, really, you know, like I said, I'm fucking up the geography, I know. Whatever. But, you know, I'm excited. And so now I know, now that, you know, Horn family, so October 2020, that is going to be our trip unless something changes, which I doubt, yeah, will happen.
Oh, it'll be a blast.
It'll be, so now I'm looking forward to trip ideas. You know, so like I said, we're more than likely going to do the train, because like, as much as, you know, and I don't mind driving, and I don't even mind traffic, because I've lived in LA all my life. Traffic is just part of my life's blood. It's actually kind of weird for me to drive without traffic, because then I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop, to wait to see what traffic is going to hit. So, you know, but you're right. I don't want to spend my, you know, you only have a finite amount of time to, you know, be on vacation, and why waste it, you know?
Why waste it on the highway and paying tolls? And, you know, you're not going to, I mean, you sit parked on the six and seven eighths in L.A., you don't want to spend your vacation parked on 695 or I-95 somewhere between D.C. and Philly. I did
right.
that. I did that. Trust me, you don't want to. It's no fun.
So that's why I said, you know what, and see, because the one thing I do, you know, I'll fuss and like, well, this is what I want to do. I want to jump in. And then, you know, for that 5 minutes, and then the common sense kicks in, and like, okay, this is a man. Bob Kincaid is a man who loves and adores you. He would never tell you something stupid. He has driven this shit. Why? He's like, he's saying, sister girl, please, Tracy, Lord Jesus, listen to me, please, Lord. Jesus, listen to me. I'm saving you the grief and aggravation, and more than likely your marriage, because, you know, like, I've told you stories about Jan and I. And so, you know, sitting on a train and, you know, business class, first class, even coach or whatever, and having a cocktail or two, and, you know, having a nice snack and what have you, sure beats the fuck out of sitting in traffic. I guarantee you that. So I'm like, I'm going to listen to Reverend Dr. Bob Kincaid, because he knows of which he speaks, you know, because I like to live with other, you know, I pay attention to everybody else, other people's experiences, because experience is
that's kind of the definition of wisdom.
You know, and so since you already experienced that shit firsthand, and that was just not that long ago, so if the man tells you that he spent a hellish drive driving, you know, from D.C. to Philly and all that, or whatnot and so forth, listen to the man. He's imparting wisdom on you. Just listen. So I'm going to listen.
And that,
I'm
yeah, to that so, ceaseless pocketa pocketa whackada 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 whackada, you know, on bad,
right.
You know, bad highway. And my buddy Bo, you know, when we meet up in D.C. to do work on the AIC Act, he drives down from Massachusetts now. And,
yeah, right.
And so he's told me, you know, he's told me the whole horror story. And I wouldn't. I mean.
And so, well, you have now convinced me. And I'm pretty sure I can convince the Oompa Loompa, better known as Jan. Yes, I call her Oompa Loompa because she's a short person, so I can call her Oompa Loompa. So, you know, so even if it doesn't save us money taking the train, because it probably won't, but it'll save our sanity. And
yeah, and you'll get more out of your vacation time. And of course, if you do stop in Philly, you know, you can go and camp out in Reading Terminal Market and see if I was telling the truth about that place.
Right. So, like I said, so now the only question would be, you know, I mean, because I'm on the quest to actually physically meet you. And I mean, that would be the only reason for me to rent a car and do a side trip. I know it's hours away, but it would be just like one day.
That may have happened by then. There are plans. I'm trying to come up with a plan. Nowhere near announcing it or anything. But I'd like to make something like that a possibility.
Because, see, I'm on a quest. You know, I will meet your happy black ass. I'm sorry, happy pink ass.
I'm honored.
One day in person. you know, because you are, you know, either by you coming here or me coming there, you know, mountain coming to Muhammad, or Muhammad comes to the mountain, whatever the fuck. So it's gonna happen. It is going to happen because it has to. Tell you what I'm going to do. So nobody took a taste or nothing out of the fundraising for today. Nothing.
No. You're
nobody.
No.
Besides what I did and what Charlene and I did and everybody else.
And Kat earlier and Randy
today.
So there's 200 okay. bucks. There's 200 bucks left for today and then 200 for tomorrow.
Okay. To end the show, because I know you got to go because you're doing Malloy tonight. That didn't come out right. Anywho,
we'll take it as read.
Thank you. Here's a $25 challenge to start release. So it won't be so brutal tomorrow. If somebody matches my $25 for before tomorrow, I will throw in another $25.
Beautiful.
So that'll be. You know, a $50, so that'll at least take $100, so that's $125 left for today's fundraiser.
Right, and $325 is not nearly as scary. You did the math far better than I ever could.
Okay. So that part. All right? Are you people listening? So the people, yes, I'm yelling. So for those people who didn't get to, who are not listening live, who are going to be listening to the podcast, later on today and into the morning and woo-da-woo, woo-da-wee. Please somebody throw in an extra 25. And if that happens, I may throw in a little bit more. But I'm not saying what I might do after that. But there will be a guaranteed $25, $25, and then another 25 for me. So please.
Tracy's triple your money $25 challenge.
Yeah, that part.
Thank you, Tracy.
There, right there. Mm-hmm. Not a problem, baby.
So, all right, I'm gonna roll out of here. I hope you get out of traffic and get home to Encino Suno.
Yeah, whatever. It is what it is, Bob. Dinner's easy. We have to talk, baby. I gotta talk to you about my foodie, the ninja foodie. Holy mother of God.
We'll talk about that. I'm still eyeballing the ninja. What is it? The Ninja Chef Pro.
The blender. I'm going to look that up. But baby, Alex. Let me just say, Alex made carnitas in it the other day.
Ooh, quit it.
My God. Any here. Love you.
And hey, your challenge just got met. By none other than Billable Rick.
Hey! What up, homie?
And
SoCal in the house.
Angelino's in the house.
I mean, he's out. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. West Coast, that part.
Yep. I was kind of proud of I hope you get to Encino Insuno, but, you know, tough crowd.
No, I laughed. I thought it tickled me. That's a half cowbell on that one.
Yeah, that's not even worth the wrist strain of picking it up. But
no, yeah. that's just a tinkle, yeah. You know. But it, you know, but I appreciate
don't,
it.
Don't say tinkle. I do radio for 2 hours at a stretch. Okay.
we got to be careful about our liquid intake. In other words, I got you.
Yes, we do. We do.
I got you.
It can get kind of desiccating those 2 hours. Tracy, take care, dear.
You too, my love. I'll talk to you. Hopefully, come up talk to you tomorrow on Friday on the front porch.
Sounds good. Later. And I got to get out of here because I got to do the turnaround for Malloy. I hope you'll join in over on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. That's about 55 minutes away if you're listening live. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air with your kind contributions. Thank you to Randy and PA for the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you to Kat and Tracy and Charlene for responding to it. Thank you to Billable Rick for responding to Tracy's latest challenge. So that'll mean that there's only 325 to do tomorrow, and that's awesome. And thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time, and I do know it's precious, engaging in this decade-and-a-half-long conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years, celebrating this year, 20 years, at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.